What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Allison scores! Unbelievable! The goalkeeper has scored!
Would he be better at Manchester United than Solskjaer?
Well, I'm only giving you my opinion. I believe so.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
Anyway, we're recording now. Have you got correspondence, Chair?
Just that one email that...
I thought we had a pile of stuff from before.
Can't find them.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
This should be the intro.
Jesus. You've had fucking 3 weeks to find that shit.
I mean, you know, if the only thing I had to do was prepare for Dadcast, the show would be amazing.
Dadpod?
This is a video thing as well.
Have a name.
Podcast?
Midlife Crisis.
Howdy Daddy.
Midlife Crisis.
Dadcast?
That's not bad, actually, yeah.
Right, you're very welcome along for this week's edition of Dadcast. I don't know if the prelim has been left in or not, so who knows, but we're very well prepared. We're bringing you lots and lots of correspondence. Absolutely none of it made up from the top of my head. Dave is here.
Hello.
Adrian is here.
Hey, lads.
Nathan is taking the day off to do something with his actual children and be a father, as opposed to us who are, you know, living vicariously talking about being a parent as opposed to actually parenting.
Doing it, yeah. I think of like you could put an extra hour of parenting into your lives if we stopped doing Dadcast. So I think I was watching a thing with Joe Marler last night. I don't know if you saw it. It was on. I don't know. I suppose it was on one of the sports channels. I can't remember which one. And it was about Big Boys Don't Cry. It was called. Really worth watching. And it was about his mental health. And God, it was really forthright and honest and interesting. And went back to speak to loads of people. Who would have known him as a kid, school coaches, school friends. It was just, I happened to be on in the background and I suddenly started to pay attention and it was really interesting. But he made a point at one stage about taking the time to look after yourself. God, this is an unbelievably deep start to this one. But taking the time to look after yourself so you can be better for the people around you. And, I just thought, wow, that's, that is interesting. Like, yeah, I don't know what you lads think about it, but I like even in my own sort of bubble here or whatever, over the last while, like I when lockdown started to begin with, I thought, okay, this is great. I'm going to get an extra bit of time spent with my kids and I'm going to go ahead and do that. And after about a week, I thought, that's supposed to be like a break. And actually that hour is really actually fucking stressing me out more than it's giving me a break. So then I thought, actually, if I am going to do, which by and large doesn't manifest itself anyway, but if I am going to take a break, I'm just going to go for a walk or something. And then you're a better, you know, you're a better all-around human being, technically. When you come
by
back from
less time with your children, you're a better parent.
Well, it's the mental the mental health equivalent of fixing your own oxygen mask on the plane before that of others.
Yeah. So
you get your head right, you'll be able to look after everybody else then.
I like that analogy, Dave.
No, I can see where Joe's going there. He speaks freely, Joe. Oftentimes it's a take it or leave it. But on this one, he seems to be spot on. How are we? How has our week been?
I haven't talked to you guys in months. I missed fortnight ago. So how was it?
The atmosphere.
Yeah. Did you burn up?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. What did we do, Dev? Can't remember. It's a great chat. 2 weeks ago. We were received by the internet. Anyway, that was the end.
Well, I was told that it was a very boring episode.
Oh,
told by someone very very close to me who shall remain nameless.
Your wife told you.
Wow. But,
I mean, what is it? Tommy Tiernan says in one of our promos, a man can very often find that his toughest audience is the audience of one, his wife.
Or a man's wife is his worst. A man can be his own worst critic. And then I think it's something a wife could be the worst critic of her husband. But that was the case for like 2 weeks ago. So we need to, you know, we need to whip things up a bit.
Sex it up a little bit.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So I was, I did
Jerry,
a very,
Jerry
I was,
for Nathan is going to work on that front, isn't it?
Yeah. I was a middle-aged dad all over the sward and did the school run, then watered my new lawn, and then went for a long walk. And only just got back in time to speak to two beautiful people.
What do you do on a walk, as a matter of interest? Well, like, I've never been much of a walker.
I listen to podcasts and watch people walk past me and enjoy the fact that I'm alive and that the sun is out. And
right.
Podcasts and the odd call that, like, if you're touring home or something like that, not always a break, obviously, but hard to find time maybe elsewhere in the day. So that's what I do. Yeah, good podcast. I could listen to a good bit of the, I mean, outside of obviously all the amazing off the ball stuff that I listen to all the time.
OTB, go on.
OTB Sports. Tommy and Hector and Larita podcast a good bit, and I find myself laughing a lot and getting odd looks as I'm walking around. But it's good to just, you're not into the walking journey. You know, I thought most people were, a lot of people were coming around to, like, you know, It's normally what you do when you've sort of retired or whatever, but there's nothing else to do in lockdown.
I don't know. I'd prefer to go for a cycle, but maybe a gentle walk is the thing to do. It's also, when do you do it? Like, so I'm in work from 6:45 till about 4:30, 5:30, get home, make the dinner. And then it's like, now the weather's got a bit better. There's a little bit of room there. But the other thing that's happened is, like, two nights a week now, we have to go training for GAA, which starts at 7:00. Oh, and Saturday morning, and you're like, hang on a second, what? This is like every week for the rest of our lives.
Are you coaching or are you just delivering?
No, at the moment, watching? No, just delivering and watching. The coaching will come at some point.
Are you itching to get into it?
I'm not itching to get into it, no. I'm happy to use that time to ring home and catch up on the work email that I didn't get to that day. For now, like, I would like to at some point, but I kind of also don't want the participation to be dependent on me being there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'd love for her just to be independent of that and go and make her mates and, you know.
Yeah, she would probably do that anyway. I found with my eldest that a year ago and maybe 18 months ago when he was 4.5, 5, there was cajoling involved and a bit of persuasion to get him out the door and get him to go if the weather was in any way wet or windy or cold. You'd have to real battle in your hands to try and get him to go. Now he's like, why are we still here? I thought you said there was training tonight. Why are we not there? I get there and he is just gone. He's just gone. Grabbed his helmet off me on Wednesday night, threw it on himself, and he was gone. But only saw him again when his group arrived at my station about 45 minutes later. And his participation is in no way contingent on me being there now. So at my turn for you, the penny will drop eventually, I would say.
Yeah, look, we've only done two weeks, and it's you know, I'm not there. I'm not a trainer, and she's delighted, and she's got a couple of her mates who are there. So it's been, and this is her first time back since Minis when she was about 5 or 6, and she wasn't a particularly enthusiastic participant at that point. So there's been a transformation, and she likes it. It's the commitment on behalf of the parents to sit on the sidelines for two nights a week and then Saturdays. And apparently games are about to start.
Yeah. They're all got to go that age now, yeah.
So we live in Marino, and for people who don't know, it's kind of quite close to the city centre on the north side of Dublin. But we could be going to, like, Ballybrack on the south side. We could be going as far north as Donabate and wherever.
Man of War, the Knoll.
Places Man of War and the Knoll. Like, I mean, you have to look up where they are, but it's a bit of a schlep. And the worst ones would be like through the city centre and down the far sides. Any of those, like, yeah.
On a Wednesday away. Evening, trying to beat the rush hour traffic. Ooh. To get there for a 7:00.
Are you excited, Jerv? Are you excited by the fact that, like, at some point soon you're going to be able to put into practice the last 20 years of speaking to the elite coaches and athletes from around the planet, that suddenly all this Stuart Lancaster leadership series that you did, suddenly it's going to get wound into practice with the under sixes?
Redhead, bluehead. No, I'm not. I don't want to get into all that kind of stuff. I don't think I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. So,
it's great fun. It's a great pause.
You're a prime candidate for, like, a weekend going right here.
I don't know. I did the senior hurling team was training at the same time, and I was looking over that going, oof, wonder could I, like, poke the balls out to the goalkeeper or something. That is, like, I'd be much happier doing that than, because I just feel like the kids need a bit of space from their parents as well, you know?
Well, the thing about the coaching is, and I look over at the sideline, and last Wednesday evening was wet. I tell you, training was close to being called off, and I'm looking over at the parents and they're standing over there shivering, and they've got their wet rain jackets on, and it's a long hour as you're getting colder and colder and the chill is getting into your bones. Whereas if you're coaching, you're out there, you're constantly running, you're yapping, you're barking, you're grabbing balls and chasing down balls and flicking them into drills and getting the kids to rotate and trying to learn the names and half keeping an eye on your own kid and whatever part of the field he's on to make sure he's happy enough. The hour flies by and you're warm and you're actually getting some exercise at the same time. It's far better to be in the thick of it than standing on the sideline.
I know, I get that. And it all falls apart if everybody feels the way I feel. Like, you know.
Yes. Plus, there's a bit of crack and a bit of camaraderie amongst the coaches as well. Like, there's a good group at my fella's age. There were a lot of the dads I know from the school run. I have been signed out. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
We are, yeah. You haven't, don't worry.
It's all live. No, let's get edited.
It's telling me that I've been signed out because somebody else from another group has signed
out. It doesn't matter. I mean, somebody using the account and
we'll text you if you disappear.
Same time.
There we go. So, yeah, let's leave that bit in just so I can let people
That's why we are.
I mean, it is the most dad thing that has happened here. It's like, oh, the technology is letting me down. What am I going to do at all?
But we've managed to keep rolling. But so I went back GA training last night for the first time in 11 years with a whole host of other dads. And the body's quite sore today.
You're actually training yourself?
Yes, an actual
GA. Why are you doing that?
Jono, I don't know.
I know. Because you've been going training with your kids and there's jealousy about the fact that other people are doing it. I was watching that training session last night going, I wasted my life not playing games all the time. Yeah. Like I essentially stopped playing games at 18 or 19 and it was such a waste. There's 20 years there where I could have been playing crappy old games, like playing in corner forwards and doing whatever and going to all those training sessions and kicking ball. And I missed that. And I like really immediately had this kind of very overwhelming, powerful nostalgia for matches and training and the crack and everything that happened with it. And also a real sense of loss that I had allowed that to happen.
Well, I would say at the same time, you're standing there on a mid-May summer's evening when the days are lengthening and it's just the most beautiful night and the conditions are absolutely perfect and it's firm sod and dry ball. Okay, it was raining, but it's still, the rain these nights isn't a bad place, unless it's driving rain. Whereas, like, I remember my last pre-season, which was about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, it was miserable. It was January in some like mud bath and lads barking orders at you and sprints and vomiting. And I'd never miss that. I don't look back in the last 10 years ago. I wish I'd played GA through my 30s. And I couldn't because of work. But
well, you're playing over 35 now, though. So there'll be none of that.
The team is over 35. The league isn't. That's going to be the farcical part. We're going to be like the oldest team ever to participate in Division 11 of the AFL. But it'll be an adventure and it'll be like my son was asking me, was I going to get hurt? Will there be a match? Are you going to get injured?
I'm the one who knocks, son.
Are you going to be okay? And I was like, don't worry, I'll be okay. Hopefully I'll get home in one piece. But the big question you asked yourself going back after so long is, have you got the ability to take a proper belt still? And that, I'm sure he's listening. My brother-in-law answered that question for me about 15 minutes into the session. So he lined me up from about 10 meters away and set me into the middle of next week. So you're on the ground going, okay, that's fair enough. I could take a proper dig, proper shoulder. But maybe you are right in some way there, watching the kids run around with a sense of abandon, loving the fact that they're just pegging it around a green field with a ball in between them somewhere is definitely whet the appetite. Now, how long will that last? When the bodies get sore and sore and stiffer, we'll see. But
I think there's a bit of madness, though, in playing games against young lads, because you saw the story in the Irish Times this week of the guy who got a 2-year suspended sentence for, it looked like a sucker punch, some kind of punch that broke a lad's jaw. Like, you're going to be playing in that same league against players who are taking this seriously and who, you know, in some instances might still be on a mad one from that week or whatever. You know, if you're playing, at least if you're playing over 35 in the league, everybody has some titter of wit, you hope.
Yeah, there's, I would be lying if I said that hadn't crossed my mind, that, you know, there's still a few dirty, cheap shots that could be had out there.
But, yeah, but you've got the man strength, Dave. Like, that's that thing, you know what I mean? You've got the man strength. It's like, it's really granddad strength.
I forgot about that. That's a good point.
I haven't got the man strength of like a fit, able 26-year-old.
No.
No, but you've been doing weights. You've got the Kieran McGeaney boa constrictor. Right.
That Damien Duff thing.
Remember biceps.
Duff learned how to fall. Remember that? That's what you want to get into, Dave.
Well, I've described how last night I found I had the ability to take a proper shoulder from a fella twice my size, but I'd never had the ability to take a punch. That's a different kettle of fish. So,
did you get a dig last night? Or
no, it was just the sort of shoulder you can see coming like from right. 2 hours ago. and it crosses your mind, right? I have an opportunity to pull out of this if I want, but then you're thinking, no, you have to find out if you can still take a belt and get up afterwards. So I went for it, and that naturally enough came off second best. But it was an interesting moment. But at least it's whetted the appetite for next week. But we have our double session tomorrow, GA followed by soccer with the older lad. That'll be 2.5 hours out on the grass, and I can't wait. Just can't wait. It's just great fun. It's what we do now that we don't really have to parent anymore. There's no nappies or bags to be packed. Or
that's true.
Pity Nathan's not here to talk about the football, because he had some experiences recently of the elites under nine in the area and all that kind of stuff, and just the cost of it. So we had friends who were getting back into stuff recently that were telling us their gymnastics is 70 quid a head per child per month.
Wow. God.
Yeah, and that's gone up.
What are you paying for that? Like, are they doing
an hour?
An hour of what? A week?
An hour a week, yeah.
Ah, stop. That's not
right. It's gone up significantly. I think it might have started at 50, and there would have been a reduction for multiple kids. So they were saying that the times aren't working out for them at the moment, but they were kind of hemming and hawing about it. Because, you know, the GA is really good value. It's like 170, 180 quid, I think, for the year. The minis is obviously 20 quid to sign up, I think, and then 2 quid a week after that. And that is fantastic value. And obviously they have big numbers that can make that feasible. I suppose for gymnastics, the insurance must be more expensive. The equipment is more expensive. But that's like 70 quid a week. Sorry, 70 quid a month.
Must be.
Times 10. So that's off for the summer, 700 a year. Times 3, 2 grand.
Times all the other sports. Like, what? They're supposed to be gymnastics and like ballet and stuff like that are supposed to be very good for younger kids. Have any of your kids done that?
Ballet, no.
Either gymnastics or ballet, no.
Oh, yeah, our kids did gymnastics, yeah.
Are you getting back into it, Jared, because you're like, was your nostalgia for like getting into a team or for doing sport? Because, I mean, you're still a young man. You're still a very young man with a long life ahead of him.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm the same age. And what I'm saying is, you can't be like that person that spends their life thinking about the things that they didn't do and still with an opportunity to put things right.
I mean, I would probably be grateful for the fact that everybody has a defibrillator now in the GA if I was to go back. I must investigate if there's an over 35, because I wouldn't mind doing that. Look, the thing is, if you're committing to, I wouldn't mind getting involved in the backroom team of a team, right? I'd be probably more interested in that for the reasons I was talking about earlier than with the kids, because also we've got three kids. Like, which of the teams do you become a mentor for? And if you don't, the jealousy of like, well, you obviously prefer this child than me because you're on that team. You know, like, that's kind of worms. I mean, that's a very real thing.
The oldest kid gets you. That's so unfortunate this way it's probably worked out in our house.
Can you just walk into whatever job is going? Is that the way this works? Like, it's not you're not waiting for an opening. You're like,
I don't think I think you volunteer. You've got to get guard of edit and do all that stuff as well.
Yeah, all that crack and safeguarding courses and but you see, there's so many kids. They need, like, our management team is like 10 lads on it. because there's that many children. Like, we've got 45 kids, 50 kids.
Yeah. So that's just that year. So what year are you guys?
That's just under 7s. That's just under 2014. So you need
2014.
Wow. You need like two guys on each station, and there's four or five stations, and that's, you know, that's the only way to make it work, really, especially when the kids are that young and maybe don't take direction as well as they will when they're a little bit older. And a lot of them wouldn't have been involved in Ogre from the age of 4 to 6. So some of them are kicking a ball, holding a hurley literally for the first time. So you
have, what's Ogre?
Ogre is like the minis.
So, all right. You can, all right. Must,
they're posh and Rahini. They speak Irish.
Yeah.
Well, we use one Irish word as in Ogre. But so a lot of kids are just really getting into it now. So you have to make a bit more time for them as well. But overall, it's great fun. And it makes you thankful that your kids are able-bodied and able to get out there and run around and enjoy themselves. When I spoke before on the pod about my kids go through these golden periods of behavior. We're in the midst of one at the moment. And it's just like,
fuck you, Dave.
How do I bottle it? What is it? How do I maintain?
Well, hang on. The last voice message that we have sent in to you, I wish I could play, was like, yeah,
that was weeks ago.
I literally just picked up my son.
That was last week.
We've 15 minutes of the walk done. There's another half an hour left to go. And he has roundly abused me for the entire time since I've picked him up. Would you accept this level of shit from anybody else in any other aspect of your life?
Did we discuss that in our pod 2 weeks ago?
I don't think so. I think it's since then. I would say that's since then.
Was one definitely since then, yeah.
Okay, well, that was must have been. That was a blip. That's been a blip. But
What is it, Dave?
I don't know. Like, you're looking at them going, my God, these are angels.
Is it the sport? Is it back to sport? Is it?
That definitely helps. Like, it definitely helps that they're in school. They have that routine. They're allowed a bit freer with their friends. And, you know, a couple of kids coming over and playing in the garden, and they're back playing their soccer. They're back playing their GAA. They're, they're allowed to see their grandparents again where they weren't before. And they're exhausted going to bed at night. So there's playing a lot of football been played on the green. And the rules around screen time are so set in stone that there's not even a debate about it Monday to Friday. So there's none of that usual fight that you'd have. Well, you said I could watch this, and why can't I watch that? And my friend's allowed to watch this. All that's taken out of the mix as well. And you throw it all in, and the longer nights, it's the perfect storm. So I'm just wondering, how do I maintain it, particularly once we get towards summer holidays when you are spending a bit more time with them and there are more requests for food and screens and movies and Nintendo Switches and all the stuff that goes when the routine of school is withdrawn from the equation?
Well, you could just keep the rules about midweek screens. Like, what's the point? Why would you relax the midweek screens when there's more opportunity for them to get out and do stuff with better weather?
Well, it's easy to maintain the rule when it's only really an hour in the morning and don't get home from the school run till 2:30. So you've really only got, say, from 7:30 to 8:30 and from 2:30 to 6 to enforce the rules. An awful lot different when they're there all day and you've got stuff to do and housework to do and prep to do. And it's so easy to say, oh, go on, just watch that for an hour.
What is your screen time guidelines?
Nothing before 6 p.m. Monday to Friday.
And what about after 6 p.m.?
Oh, they're going to bed at 7:30, so they get an hour and a half after 6.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
And then,
I'm benchmarking you off me, obviously. That's
Saturday and Sunday, they'll watch a good bit. They'll get to watch cartoons in the morning and in the evening. Yeah.
God, I think we've talked
about this before. We'd no TV, no screens midweek. So, and like that weekend, it's kind of a bit of a free for all, but you try and stave it off until as late as possible. And also try and make sure that if there's a big match on, you're like, no. Match comes first. It's work. Tough shit. But since the lockdown, obviously, tablets have become a regular part. So they're on tablets a good bit now. And like, that's actually far more insidious than TV, because flick, 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 they're suddenly on YouTube, and YouTube is a hellscape. Like,
you have to monitor it, though. Are there not apps you can use to monitor it?
You've only got the YouTube Kids thing, but even still, and they do know that they're not supposed to go, and you can check the history and all that kind of stuff. But the screens being part of the response to lockdown, like, that was a bit of a a bit of a kick in the nuts for us, because we had been really good about not being on screens and them not really giving a shit that there was no screens midweek, because like that, you just accept the rules. So
yeah. Oh, I'll definitely try and maintain it to some extent, maybe bring it forward half an hour, maybe give them half an hour in the morning. Although we are booking them into camps left, right and centre, from camps to GA camps to summer camps to all sorts of camps. So that'll keep them occupied for as long as possible. Like, they don't need to be with us. Kids don't need to be with their parents. It's far better to be out with their friends and chasing something around, whether it's a bloody pigeon or a football. It doesn't make any odds. Run, run and climb and fall and skip and chase and belt and take a belt and just do what we did when we were kids, where you just never stopped. That's what it's all about. We have correspondence this week, Jared, don't we?
We do. We've loads and loads and loads of it. I just couldn't find any of it except for this one piece. So an email in from Simon in Swords, who is sending his kid to junior infants at a school which has a Catholic ethos, even though his kid is non-religious. There's really good Educate Togethers out around Swords. There's several of them you should try and get your kids into. Anyway, are there any hurdles to watch out for with social occasions for other kids, communion, etc.? Is there generally a sizable number of kids at those types of schools now not partaking in the religious side? Experiences and advice welcome. Thanks, lads. Love the pod. Very relatable. Simon in Swords. Thanks for that, Simon. We don't send our kids to religious school. We just couldn't do it, to be honest. Didn't think that was the right thing to do. Especially now with all the stuff coming out about the religious education. Sex education is coming out in the like middle years of school, where they acknowledge that there are other types of families, but that actually a woman's body is basically for having babies. That's what they're going to be teaching you. So we're not interested in that. Didn't do it. I'm not best place to talk about this.
That's giving Simon the advice.
Unfortunately, Simon's probably come to the wrong place. Like, our boys are at a Catholic school. Still very young. I don't know what sort of religious education is going on at the moment. There are little colouring books here and there of, you know, what went on at the Nativity and Mary and Joseph and all that kind of stuff. So I do my best to try and steer them in the right direction on that count. But
and what if they were, what if, like, I without getting into your religious interests or otherwise, Dave, one way or the other, what if you weren't into religion in that instance, to tease out Simon's issue there, like with them? Did you say that was homework or stuff they're doing in class?
They're still in a class, but it would have been a bit of homework, particularly during lockdown, when you'd get a suite of stuff at the beginning of the week, or the beginning of a fortnight period.
So if they're in class, is it like, you know, do they go around and go, okay, you're religious, here's Joseph for you, you're not, here's a dinosaur? Like,
yeah, well, I don't know what it is. I don't know if there are kids, say, in his class that expressly, their parents have expressly said that they don't want to participate in the religious education side of it. Like, the one aspect of it for me is that any of the stuff that I would have seen, like the book they use is called Grow in Love. And it's basically lessons in how to be a decent human being. It's all based on love thy neighbor and tolerance and ensuring that you can do whatever you can to help people where possible.
I don't know. It's the concept of sin and shame.
No, that's not, that has not been part of anything that I have seen just yet.
It's all prepping you up for that.
Well, your maybe it's coming down the tracks, but like...
Well, it is. Your first confession's coming. That's a big thing. The whole communion, the body and blood of Christ, this Christ being murdered, you know, like all that stuff.
That's the root of his question, I presume. If you're saying about the first communion and the first confession coming, Simon's kid won't be doing that, I presume.
He's going to be watching almost everybody else in his class traipse off to that and them going, ha, 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 ha. We don't have any sins anymore because they've been absolved by some weird priest. That guy in the confessional, he made us pure again. You're not pure, you're dirty. You know, I don't know. I just think it's mad that we do that for 2.5 hours a week and we do PE for an hour if you're looking. That's mad.
Well, that's a different debate though.
It's the same debate.
Well, it's not the same debate. Just because you do whatever amount of time it is that a particular school might spend on religious education, the PE debate is different. Yes, you could take the hour of religious education and channel it towards PE. Still won't be anywhere near enough PE time. Like, it still won't even scrape the bottom of the barrel in terms of what they should be doing and their active hours.
If you got rid of religion, you'd have 3.5 hours a week, which would actually be pretty close to ideal.
But it doesn't sound to me like in that overall conversation, like getting rid of religion, right? I'd be with Dave there in terms of like maybe they just need to be separated out. Like if you're trying to get rid of one and bring in the other, try and separate them, right? And so we might be able to bring in PE at the expense of something, but it doesn't have to be religion. Look, I mean, I'd be similar boat to yourself, Ger, in terms of I ain't here to defend the Catholic Church, that's for sure. But there might be slight conversation. Just on the Dave brought up something there about I can't remember what it was, but it was something to do with participation in religion while in school. And like maybe this is the wrong group to pursue that line of question. But like, do they?
I think you can opt out. Yeah.
Are you? Huh?
I think you can opt out. Is that what you're asking?
Can you? Yeah.
You can opt out. So like, I had friends in the country who were conscientious objectors in a Catholic school, but like they're the only ones, you know. So it didn't help with integration or certainly FOMO when communion was happening or confirmation or that kind of stuff.
You know? Yeah, they're very complex conversations to be having with kids as well, aren't they? Like, you know.
Also because like if you remember back to your confirmation and things have not changed, like it's the only focus of sixth class for about 2 months. It's making sure that nobody fucks up in front of the bishop.
Yeah.
Like
still the same, all shite, is it?
I mean, how would it change? Why would it change? Like it's got bigger and bigger. There's limos and all that shite and fake tan.
We've nothing helpful for Simon as well. If our listeners or our viewers have anything to offer.
Simon may now find us a little less relatable than he did before before he sent in his email. But I don't have an awful lot of advice for Simon on that matter, unfortunately.
Somebody in the past has spoken about this and has talked about taking the kids on holidays for that weekend, taking them away, like making sure that they're not around. And not, or alternatively having their own party, which is like a, you know.
Like some sort of a hippie.
Surrogate.
Pagan.
Well, it's basically an opportunity to put the hand out to the grandparents and in-laws and mates.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah, you still got to make your money, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Simon will figure it out. I'm sure he's not the only person in that boat.
But like everybody will just do the things in the school, right? That's the experience that most people would have. The number of conscientious objectors is not going to be significant.
No, unlikely. So that's all the correspondence that you have, Jerry, yes?
That's all I can find, Dave, yeah.
Dave, you're forgetting that the person that's edited this has actually left the start in. So the audience is entirely aware of what's going to happen.
They better not have. There was an F-bomb thrown in there that we would rather not make a play out into the public domain.
Your gentle way of saying, make sure
it's taken out. But so what else? Anyone got anything else that you want to get off your chest?
I've still got this is just such a recurring issue. I've stopped bringing it up now. Well, there was two of them. One of them that the two-year-old is still having tantrums at absolutely nothing, with phenomenal regularity.
But 2 weeks ago, we told you to try the ignoring strategy.
Have you tried that? Absolutely everything, Dave. Ignore, be too kind, give it the shouty treatment, everything that I can think of. And it distracts her for a little while, and then suddenly she's gone back into meltdown mode. But that exists. I mean, I don't know if there's anything. I think it fits somewhere into the terrible twos category or somewhere. That's how I'm writing it off in my mind, that this is not going to be the state of play for her for the next 40 years. But the other one is the son coming into our room in the middle of the night. So we'd been having these conversations for a while about getting him a couple of packets of dinosaur cards. I'm not fully sure even what they are just yet, but they seem to be currency in his world. So that's good enough for me. So what we had decided at some point a number of months ago was that we were going to say, listen, if you could do X number of nights without coming into us, we'll get you some packs of dino cards. Anyway, he didn't last one night, and so we just gave up as a bad, just wasn't going to work. But we went back to it 4 nights ago, and so we put up 7 lines up on the whiteboard.
How old is he?
Okay. Huh?
How old is he?
Four and a few months.
Okay.
Put 7 lines up on the thing and said, okay, for each night that you don't come into us, we'll come down in the morning, you'll rub one of those out, and when you get that to zero, you are going to get two packs of diamond cards. So it worked to varying degrees, but I mean, overall, we were just saying it worked. You know, that he'd come in at like six. He came in one morning at 6 o'clock, came running into the room and was like, he'd come in. What actually happened was he came in at about 4 o'clock and then at about 6 o'clock left the room. Like, Maria, I wasn't really in the room at all.
Good man. Good man, that's clever.
At 7 o'clock, as if,
ta-da!
Hey, everybody. Haven't seen you all night.
He was like someone who's murdered someone and is looking for an alibi.
Yeah, so we kind of gave him that one. We were like, oh, listen, there's a bit of creativity with that. That's fair enough. We'll allow you that one. So a couple of little bits of me. So we got 3 nights in. And then last night, and I haven't had the opportunity to see him yet to have the conversation about exactly where we stand with this, but last night he just went back to Norm and came back in the middle of the night. At about 6 o'clock this morning, and he was lord of the fucking manor, lying back in the bed, legs in the air, happy as Larry. There wasn't a buy or leave, but no intention of even pulling the wool over our eyes anymore. So what I said to him was, if during that sequence of 7 nights where you need to be sleeping in your own bed, that you contravene those regulations, we'll be going back to square one again. So I kind of feel as if I kind of need to see that through now. Does seem quite nil.
So what time did he come in at? Was it 6 a.m. you said?
No. Last night he was in at the time that I left at 6 a.m.
Okay, right.
He was there, but he'd been in for, I presume several hours before that.
Okay, so what can you do?
Yeah, you got to stick with it. He's taking
the piss out of us, essentially.
No, it's working. It's working. That's like, I can't even remember. He wanted something. I can't remember what it was. But so he was turning his light on five. He's turning his light on every night. And like, as a result of having his light on, like it's a bedside, full bedside lamp. So the room is bright. He wasn't sleeping very well. And so therefore was tired all the time and cranky all the time. We were like, got to stop having the light on, because... So eventually we just bribed him and he had to like that. It was a full week, because the week kind of is enough to break the habit.
Yeah.
And eventually it worked. Like it might've taken 3 or 4 weeks for him to get the full week. But once that happened, we were like, we got him a toy. It was a scorpion, a giant, horrific scorpion that he'd seen months and months and months before and was raving about. And we were like, we will get you this scorpion if you can have the light off for a week. And now the light comes on very sporadically and he's happy to have it turned off and it was totally fine. But it definitely was the long period within which that broke. But like, this is too important for everybody. He needs to sleep through the nights.
Definitely.
You need to fucking have that sleep. Like,
yeah, no, it's 100% true. And like, the slight concern I have is that like the end point for him is ticking that thing off the list, right? He's obviously not thinking about it in the same way as we are, but he would say quite often that, I'm just looking forward to getting through the week. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm just looking forward to getting through the week, because then I can go back into coming into bed with you guys.
Exactly. Yeah. So but maybe the cards are too small a prize. And if you take them back from him if he comes in.
Yeah.
This is a forever deal. You can keep them forever, but as soon as you come back in, we take them off you.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout. Yeah, it's the end of the week. I really, really need to reset now. There could be a meltdown, but I really, really need to reset the 7 lines today, and that could be an issue. But
well, maybe don't go the full 7. Set him back 2 or 3 steps. That's incredibly hard.
That's a good show. That's
for
a
him
good show.
To see like the mountain just reappear in front of him, and he finds himself at the very bottom all over again.
Yeah, that's a good show. I like that.
Of not doing it might not be enough for him to break the habit.
Well, tell him he'll add another 2 tomorrow if he comes in tonight.
Yeah,
don't go back to 7. Don't go back to 7.
That'd be terrible. I like that.
I would resent you forever if you went back to 7.
Yeah. No, that's
you'll still be coming in 3 years' time. You'll still be coming in. At 21, you'll be still coming in for now, snuggle with mum and dad.
I'm putting a case of Guinness up on the wall here. If you can stay the whole night, you can have a 24 pack.
How do you get that back off now?
yeah,
you're all laughing now, but the kids are all going to be living with
it. It does feel like that.
Well, I'm starting to dread all this when I see all of this talk about how our generation's going to be better off than the generation coming behind us. And I hear these families and they have three kids all in their 20s, early 30s. They're all living with them. And I'm thinking, am I going to be living with these boys like in my 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
It's obviously very, very possible that that's going
to
happen.
Imagine how hard it is to get laid now times 100.
Oh, my God. Can't even get bars and nightclubs aren't even open. Let alone when they do open, you're stuck living with your parents until you're 40.
No,
I think he's talking about you, dude.
That's not even an issue.
But what do you mean? That
as in, like, I've better things to be worrying about, and that's where I carry on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
See, that's that. The priority list is all completely skewed. That to me is the number one priority.
That's your number one priority. Okay,
it should be. I mean, I'm not saying it is, but it should be.
In whose house is that the number one priority? And who's where you've got a job and the kids and a mortgage and?
Were you not reading all the stuff about lockdown couples drifting apart, divorce rates soaring because there's no intimacy, there's no none of the like. Surprise anymore. Well, I mean,
should there not be like more? Should there not be like you're now riding your colleagues essentially, like your colleague? Do you know what I mean? You're let me talk that one out. Let me talk that one out.
What are you talking about?
Your office colleague. Your office colleague.
Shitting on your own doorstep now, like.
Yeah, but you like that's the new reality. Like that's the reality.
So that,
you know, you meet by the printer. We really shouldn't be doing this.
No.
Have you seen that episode of? Do you watch Modern Family?
Yeah.
No.
You seen that episode where the two of them pretend to be off on this? They go away for a dirty weekend and they pretend to be. Strangers and they meet by the bar and she's like made up a name and he's made up a name and they're there for their individual companies and they go off and have hot sex essentially by pretending to be other people. That was kind of what I was getting at with my hey colleague.
Right, it's very hard to do that when you're still in your gaff though.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like we met by the printer.
It kind of needs to be a hotel or something for that. For that does, sort of stuff does, to occur. But I don't know. We have got through what, three lockdowns now. There hasn't been any major, major structural issues. The integrity of the structure remains intact. We might even get a quantity surveyor in just to make sure that everything is still intact. So I would have thought that is a decent test of where things are.
The euphemism of I was with you up to a point and then I've kind of lost
quantity what we're talking about. Who would that be in this instance? Is that
everybody's still getting on. Everybody's
you're getting in a quantity surveyor. That's all I heard.
I've lost track of my own analogy now. But we're all still here and we're all still on speaking terms, which is a bonus, given what we've all been through over the last year and a bit. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So surviving all this stuff, I hope is going to be like very good for everybody, as opposed to like some kind of ticking time bomb of mental health for people. So our kids all dealt with going back to school very differently. We definitely had one of them was definitely more out of sorts than others and is now kind of beginning to calm down a bit, but I would say fairly similar sense to you, Adrian, in terms of the regularity of the outbursts, but they were extreme, like really extreme. So fingers crossed, a little bit of good weather, outdoor activity, more structure helps. But it's been fucking difficult.
Something to look forward to. You know the old Chinese proverb about you need something, something, and then something to look forward to. Like it's 100% true. Like it really is. Like you can go beyond your borders, or whatever. Like what are you doing? You're going away somewhere for a weekend or whatever. It's not like you're going to Disneyland every week, but just something that you can say. Like we're thinking about going camping down to their grandparents or whatever, like that sort of thing. Like their eyes light up. It's like just this something different than we have to go up the road for a cycle or we're going for a walk and is it the same shit again? Yeah. I think it's great for their mental health ultimately. And ours.
Indeed. Any other business, gents?
No, that's it from me.
Hopefully we'll be back to a foursome next Friday.
I think this quantity surveyor analogy has taken its toll on Davies.
let me think it through, and I can see by next or by in a fortnight's time, I'll know exactly what role this quantity surveyor is going to play.
Well, I think we're all intrigued, Dave.
I wonder, given the topic of conversation, is this a less boring episode than last week's, or it'll be interesting to see what the reviews are like.
Yeah. Well, we'll let her be the judge of that.
Could you tell her to stay off our iPod reviews until next week, at least?
Yeah. All right. That's this week's edition of Dadcast. Thanks very much for joining us. Dadcast@offtheball.com. And I promise that we'll start reading the correspondence again. Dadcast@offtheball.com is the email address. You can get us on Twitter @DadcastPod. We'll see you in a fortnight. Good luck.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.